Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about adding context to compliance and color to your legal practice. Our guest today is Patrick Hayes. Patrick is a partner and chair of the investment management practice at Calfee, Alter, and Griswold, where he supports investment advisors and broker-dealers in the development and administration of their compliance programs, including the creation and implementation of policies and procedures governing all activities of the firm. His clients include wealth managers, private fund advisors, family offices, ERISA investment fiduciaries, dual registrants, broker-dealers, crypto traders, mutual fund trusts, and institutional asset managers. In 2020, Patrick launched the Securities Compliance Podcast, Compliance in Context, to serve as a personal masterclass for the security industry's legal and compliance professionals. Patrick is a graduate of the University of Notre Dame and the University of Cincinnati College of Law. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thanks for having me, Guy. It's great to be here.
Pleasure having you. So, Patrick, before we get started, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you go about focusing on your practice? How long have you been at Calfee? And what made you think, starting a podcast was a good idea?
Sure. Well, timing has always been a strong suit of mine. And I say that somewhat sarcastically because I actually graduated from law school right at the start of the Great Recession. A lot of folks, a lot of attorneys coming out at that time, I was just very fortunate to have a legal job right after graduation. Ultimately, I was doing litigation at the time. And I had heard a description of the two different types of attorneys that are out there. They're are advocates and there are counselors. And an advocate, as you might expect, a person in litigation is going to take that form, is someone that's frequently responding to a problem after something's already occurred and essentially trying to put their client's best foot forward. A counselor is often working behind the scenes and working with folks to help prevent problems before they occurred and very often working strategically with the leadership at those various organizations or companies to help, prevent problems before they occur and really become kind of a trusted partner. And I really liked that approach and found myself drawn toward areas of the law that did that. And ultimately, despite being a bit of an English nerd, that was my undergraduate degree from Notre Dame, was really drawn towards the financial markets and working with other registrants in that space. And so kind of fell into it. 5 years into my career, I took an in-house job with Fort Washington Investment Advisors, where it really got to dug into the practice area.
Love it. And so what made you want to create a podcast? How did that idea come about? How did the Securities Compliance Podcast come to be?
So I've been an avid podcast listener for almost the better part of 20 years now, and kind of was an early adopter as far as using podcasts as a way to download information, as a way to receive the different types of information that I was really interested in. It actually, there are a couple different muses, I would say, in the podcasting space. Tony Kornheiser's show, for those in and around the D.C. area, will probably know that name. Those that are
great show,
fans
great
of
show.
ESPN or, yep. big fan of that. And then a few others as well. I would actually even say Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. Maybe we get to talk about it throughout this podcast episode. I can tell you how his influence and some of the shows that he did kind of ultimately also drew me into the space. And then a few others that were more kind of like almost like NPR style podcasts where they were going to give you news and sound bites of different things. All of those were influences on me early as a listener of podcasts. And, as I started to transition into this role more in the investment management space, I looked out across the landscape and there just wasn't a lot out there for the securities legal and compliance professional. There was a lot of content out there on the advisor side, right, or on the investment side. But it was so interesting because this is such a niche area ripe for, you know, the kind of content where people would crave really quality content and kind of deeper dives into the types of information and issues and situations that they might be dealing with in their practice. And yet everything seemed to focus more on just the pure business side, right, on the investment side or on the advisor side. And so I have been very fortunate throughout my career to team up with some really great organizations. At the top of that list was the National Society of Compliance Professionals. The NSCP provides fantastic educational resources and camaraderie and forums and all different kinds of conferences and other educational learning and seminars for compliance officers and legal practitioners in the securities compliance space. In working with them, we just kind of came up with this idea, right? It was an itch that I had always wanted to scratch, was the idea that maybe put something together like this. My father, actually, interestingly enough, had a really strong background in public relations and marketing, and I think he was at Procter & Gamble for a long time, worked a lot with their senior leadership on branding and other stuff like that, and I'm thinking that that probably had an influence on me as well. But ultimately, that was kind of, you know, I had this itch to scratch and had a great opportunity working with the National Society of Compliance Professionals, and 3 years later, here we are.
I love it. That's a great, great story. So what would you say is the purpose of the show today?
Yeah, so you kind of alluded to it, and I appreciate that very nice kind of intro. But, you know, the background there was that I wanted to create a personal masterclass for the securities, legal, and compliance professional. And what I mean by that is, you know, I think around the same time I was really, this, you know, seed idea I had about putting together a podcast was really starting to take form. I was also influenced by those actual masterclass commercials. Like if you remember a few years back, at least I can remember seeing them all the time, six years ago.
Yeah, all the time.
And including at some of those big time events like Super Bowls and stuff. But I love, there was one in particular where they have this beautiful piece, classical music piece being played on the violin. And you get these shots of these different like industry leaders and innovators and entrepreneurs. You get these different shots of these, you know, innovators and entrepreneurs and people that are leading their industries along with this music. And it's not just that the advice focuses on the technical, right? In those masterclass advertisements and in what I was looking to do with the Securities Compliance Podcast, and hence the reason for kind of the tagline compliance in context, is show that, you know, those persons that are true masters of their craft, they understand not just the black and white kind of letter of the law, but also the subtle nuances, right? And the difference between how you interpret something legally versus how you apply that thing practically. And my thought in putting together the podcast was, look, I'm going to surround myself, I'm going to do these interviews with people that are at the top of their game, right? That are experts in those spaces that can shed that incredible insight, but that also understand how that insight plays out in, you know, practically speaking, how that's going to impact a firm's compliance program broadly, how it's going to impact their business and operations. And it would include both people from the industry. It would include people that are, you know, on the regulatory side. It would include our regulators, another important voice, and obviously a group that the industry needs to collaborate in order to move forward, along with those that are actually in the trenches, right? So like the compliance personnel, right? The legal personnel that are kind of talking the talk and walking the walk day after day in those roles. And so this was a way that we could kind of combine all of that knowledge into one space and get to do a deep dive on lots of really cool topics. The other real quick thing I'll add there, though, is that the context part, it also just doesn't relate to what I would call the compliance and law part. We've gotten great feedback from listeners. And one of the things we've tried to do on the show which is really divided up into three parts. You've got like in our flagship episodes, I should say, but we've actually evolved into different episodes too, which I could talk about. But the flagship episode has an intro section with kind of a headlines type thing. Then we do the deep dive interview on a really cool, novel, contemporary topic. And then each show will conclude with kind of three rotating bits, but it'll be, you know, there's the History Has Your Back, which is where we look at something, an event or a person from history that, even though it's in a topic often totally unrelated from securities compliance, it teaches us a lesson about security compliance or something that we could use in our compliance programs. What's on my mind is kind of like your old Andy Rooney 60 Minutes kind of hot take on something that's happening, or just kind of an interesting perspective on an issue. And then outtakes, we'll look at oftentimes enforcement actions that may have occurred, and kind of like similar to where you're editing a movie, those are the kinds of things you want to cut out of your compliance room and leave on the cutting room floor. And we've gotten great feedback from listeners that they like the fact that, you know, our shows don't just focus on law and compliance, or if they do, that at least it adds in other elements of real life into them that help provide some entertainment value and also probably help people make connections, right, too, that ultimately help improve the way that they approach their practice.
I love it. And as you said, it's in context, which makes all the difference.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that I don't want to say surprised me, but intrigued me when we were speaking about doing this podcast last week was you mentioned that you've had a lot of colleagues, but I would also say competitors on your show. And typically what I have found is most lawyers, when they're doing podcasts, they don't really like to have competitors on the show. But with you, it just seems like it's a natural progression. It probably makes your podcast a little bit better. Did you have any pushback when you invite, you know, lawyers from other firms to participate, or, you know, how has that come along?
It's a great question. And you're absolutely right. I mean, on the podcast, very frequently, there are lots of other lawyers and attorneys from other law firms. The idea behind it, and again, really was more, I really wanted to do something. And this is also, I think, part of what makes like the National Society of Compliance Professionals so unique, because it's obviously got a really wide swath of membership organizations, right? It's members that are going to comprise a lot of different parts of the investment management industry. And those members are even sometimes themselves, you know, competitors. In the same way that the NSCP has different forums and other stuff that like its members can go to, and they can ask questions, right, to other members and to other folks out there that are struggling with a particular issue. And I think that's also kind of unique for this space, like the investment management space in particular, is that, I mean, of course, right, you've got the Securities Act and the Exchange Act and the Advisors Act, the Investment Company Act, and those four federal statutes are probably going to comprise, you know, I don't know, 80 to 90% of the stuff that like you would need to know. There's so much guidance that's not necessarily law yet, right, that you get from the Securities and Exchange Commission in the form of risk alerts or investment management staff guidance or bulletins or other stuff like that. And so there's a lot of gray. There's a lot of interpretation. And my whole idea in thinking about the podcast was, you know, we're going to be able to bring on experts and we're going to be able to talk about really sophisticated subject matter areas. And even when, you know, like on a show earlier this season, we had Adam Aderton on and his firm does great work, right? I mean, they're a fantastic firm. And the idea that we weren't going to then let our, you know, he's over at Wilkie, Farr and Gallagher, by the way. And, you know, Adam, as a former co-chief of the SEC's asset management unit, right? I mean, he's just got such an incredible experience, and one that I know even from like CalFee's standpoint, we're going to have a lot of clients that are looking at a lot of the similar things. On that episode, we were talking about ESG and its impact on the investment management industry and some of the kind of proposed rules that are out there. And so ultimately, I think, look, if we're going to advertise ourselves as being, you know, a personal masterclass for the securities law and compliance professional, for me, at the end of the day, the number one priority was getting on excellent guests and having excellent content, even if it meant that I was going to have to go outside of Calfee.
I love it. And that's really what I try to do as well. It's really about the quality of the show and, you know, how can you make it better rather than worry about, like, oh, this guy's competing with me, so I probably shouldn't promote him, which I have found not to be the case at all. Let me ask you another question. And this is something I frequently talk to lawyers about that are thinking about creating a podcast, at least from my perspective. And I wonder if it's the same for you. I have found that podcasts are not just only a great way to create really great and valuable content, but podcasts are a great way to create new relationships or enhance existing relationships, right? By inviting people that you either know or don't know, but want to get to know, it really provides an opportunity to solidify that type of relationship. I wonder what your take on that is.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's a smart perspective because you're exactly right. It's kind of like having a podcast in an area of the law where you're going to be able to connect with the best and the brightest of folks that are in the space or your quote unquote peers in other ways. It's a perfect way. It's almost like you've got this open invitation to sit down at a coffee shop or at a bar stool with somebody else that does what you do, is crazy smart and good, and that you just get to have a conversation with. So in addition to the kind of flagship episodes that I talked about earlier, we started another kind of style of episode called Lessons from the Front Lines. And oftentimes when we do a Lessons from the Front Lines episode, we skip the usual headlines intro and we skip the usual rotating bit outro because we just want to focus on the conversation. And look, obviously that's your larger point is what I'm really driving at. But I just found it interesting because that was exactly what we were thinking even as we were developing that style of episode, which is that having this podcast out there for anybody that's practicing, you can go to someone else and say, hey, we hear you're great at X, right? Or we know that because of your background and experience, you would be a fantastic person to come on and talk about X. We've got this show. You're going to be able to help market, you know, yourself as an industry thought leader or expert in the space. And so people are, as you might expect, given that, a lot more generous, right, with their time. And ultimately, you know, having that in place and just really being kind of like, you know, rising tides lifts all boats. We do want to continue to push the industry forward and have that kind of knowledge sharing out there, but it is the perfect kind of entree to really reach out to others that are in the space and get to know them and have them become part of your own professional network.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good to Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good to Be Social website and look for The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. So talk a little bit about how the show has evolved. I mean, you already talked a little bit about it, but how has the show evolved? And I guess the larger question, which is the question I always hear is, you know, is this really going to help my legal practice? Maybe you could address both of those points.
Great question. So the first lesson learned, at least in this space. And I will add, you know, like any good attorney, I'm gonna hedge, right? I'm gonna qualify with a healthy disclaimer here on the front end. But I would say initially, you know, we thought that for our episodes, we were really targeting shorter episodes initially. And the interesting part about the investment management space that I do think, you know, I will say is different from other areas of the law, other practice areas. But one of the interesting things about it is we got feedback even early on for folks that were saying, you know, loved how you dived into that topic. I think you could, you know, like you could have gone for even longer in the interview, right? We were getting feedback from listeners early on that said that they really liked the show and they wanted us to do even more of it. They wanted even more show. And again, kind of something that we weren't expecting. That was a total, because we were trying to keep it in that, you know, 20 to 30 minute range. People wanted, I think because the topics can be so difficult, I think in some of the different kind of nuances and issues that we discuss are really complicated, that it liked having a little bit more time to do a little bit deeper dive. So we ultimately have probably doubled, I would say, the average length of the show, which is kind of an interesting thing. And the other thing that I would say is, again, I mentioned like these different styles of shows. So we've got kind of the flagship episode. That'll always be the one that we do the most type of episodes for. We talked about the lessons from the front lines episode, which is kind of cool because it's just, again, it's just kind of like you get to, you know, sit down on a parcel at a coffee shop and just talk about these issues and what the interviewee has learned in the course of their time in dealing with that. And then the last one that we've gotten amazing feedback from is what we're calling the actual masterclass series. So, I talked about that was kind of the initial impetus for the entire podcast generally. But we actually started doing, and that was actually, I mentioned Dan Carlin and Hardcore History as being one of my influences. The Tony Kornheiser Show influenced me because Tony Kornheiser does such an incredible job. He's inclusive of everyone on his show and the guests he brings on, but he makes the show feel exclusive. He makes it feel like a club, right? And that's that kind of approach is what I often try to do with our pod as well. What I'm to build is that kind of community. And there are running inside jokes and other stuff that you'll see throughout kind of the common threads in the episodes. What Dan Carlin in Hardcore History did that lends itself so well to the Masterclass miniseries is that Dan did miniseries. He would do stuff on like a 5 or 6 part miniseries on the Achaemenid Persian Empire or the fall of Rome or all these, you know, World War II on the German front and on the Russian front. And that led me to think, you know what, we could pick really tough to tackle subject matter areas and do like a 4 or 5 or 6 part miniseries. And I think it'll really resonate with people, right? It's almost like getting like a mini book series or something like that. And so those shows go even longer. I mean, they're more in like the 60 to 75 minute range and we'll do 4 or 5 parts. But since we started that in the fall of last year, we've just gotten incredible returns from that. People absolutely crave that content. We've already started thinking about some different masterclass miniseries we can do on some other topics in the future.
Love it. That's great.
And then you mentioned, so how do I see it kind of playing out in my practice and has it helped? And I would say for sure it has helped. I mean, a lot of the things that you mentioned, the kind of tangential benefits that you get, you know, expanding your professional network, getting to really connect with industry thought leaders and people at the top of their game, all the experts. The other thing that it's done is, you know, for a firm like Calfee that is more of a regional type firm, it's been able to, I haven't had a client yet say, oh, I hired you because of the podcast. Like, no, I definitely haven't had that experience yet. Maybe I will, but I haven't had that yet. What they will often say, though, is, oh, hey, I listened to your show and, you know, we were looking for experience in this space. And so you were one of the people we reached out to. Right. So it's like kind
That's
of thinking
good.
About it like in a job interview, it's that like initial vetting of the resumes, you know, having something in place where people can go and get a little bit of your content, at least I think in some aspects has helped me get through that initial vetting with, you know, potential prospects. And then again, I think after that, it's really about how you're able to connect with that client, and ultimately if you can really provide a quality service and help them in a time of need. But it has helped with that initial vetting, I think.
Love it. Well, Patrick, unfortunately, we've run out of time. But before I let you go, perhaps you could provide, you know, some word of advice or an actionable takeaway to our listeners. Maybe they're thinking about starting a podcast, or they have a podcast. It's not doing as well as they had hoped. What would you say to them? What would be your advice?
Yeah, no, that's a great question too. And if it's okay, I'll probably go a little personal, which is that, so, you know, I'm a father of three young girls, ages 5, 2, and 1. And as you might expect, they can keep me pretty busy. I think it was interesting. I was always kind of told in different career pathing and professional development type things that you got to have work-life balance. You got to have, you know, good work-life balance. And I guess I struggled with that really hard, especially as I was thinking about starting my own podcast, because it was like, look, I'm already, you know, I'm a partner at a law firm trying to lead practice and doing all this other stuff. What I've found is that our professional and personal lives, they don't exist in a vacuum. I don't treat them like they exist in a vacuum, right? I found a better approach is to find things that make you happy in your career, and that also you find personally fulfilling, and see what you can do to kind of design activities around them in kind of more of what I would call a work-life integration. And so, you know, what I've tried to do is essentially just that with the podcast. This was something that I found incredibly fulfilling and worthwhile from a personal perspective. And of course, it also helps with a lot of the other tangential direct and indirect benefits that we talked about earlier. And, you know, the quote, I guess, that stuck with me for a long time is that it's from an author named James Michener. He wrote that the master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation, his love and his religion. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he's always doing both.
And, I love that. You know, love that quote. That's amazing.
it stuck with me. I heard that probably 15 years ago now, and it's always stuck with me. And it's, I mean, you know, if you're going to do something like a podcast, I guess the takeaway would be, number one, don't let work-life balance be the thing that stops you from doing it. If you are passionate about doing something and that's something that you would find personally fulfilling, just do it. I mean, look, I'm the guy who, in the middle of winter, I've got to negotiate with my wife how long I can keep the heater off when I go record down in the basement, so that you don't get the rumble going on into the podcast episode as I bring my mic down there, because it's the best area. It's got heavily carpeted and has the best acoustics. And so, you know, I got to, like, you know, with the girls sleeping upstairs, I've only got like a half hour to do certain parts. But I think you can make it work. You can integrate those things into your life, and ultimately you're going to be a lot happier, both personally and professionally, if you do.
Love it. That is great advice. All right. Well, unfortunately, Patrick, we have run out of time. I'm going to let you go because I know how busy you are. To our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, just go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also listen to some of our great past episodes. And Patrick, thank you so much for your time today. It's really been a pleasure. Wish you nothing but continued success with the podcast and with everything you're doing. It was really great to have you on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you, guy. It was a real pleasure. Looking forward to staying in touch.
All right. Thank you to our listeners. Hope you enjoyed the podcast today. See you next time.